T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Trent Williams, Nick Bosa talking to the media. We'll have some of that for you a little bit later in the show this hour. Also, Draymond Green back on a podcast on the Steam Room with Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley. That's a really good podcast. Draymond, I'm seeing a quote here on the tweet. We got to play that sound saying they don't want to see us. Oh, the second bubble. Talking about the second bubble. They don't want to see if Steph and Clay. They don't want to see us if Steph and Clay aren't playing. That's the second bubble, which probably will not go down in Chicago. But speaking of the bubble, seeing Kings and Pelicans, and look, the bubble, man. I heard Lowe and Dibs earlier this morning talking about, yeah, we haven't really been too fascinated with the bubble. Maybe they've been watching the Orlando Magic. Maybe they've been watching the Brooklyn Nets. Maybe they've been watching the Washington Wizards, because the bubble has been fascinating.
Yes.
We've had some really good games in the bubble, man. Some really good games. And I'm not, you know, maybe they just been stuck watching the Nets or something. I don't know what they're talking about.
But the intensity and the level of play, Shasky, we talked about it. Everybody involved, you can just be a fair-weather NBA fan. If you can't appreciate what's going down in Orlando, consider what it could have been and how bad we thought we were going to see that version and brand of basketball. I'm shocked. I'm watching every game like, is this the NCAA tournament, but the NBA version? They're playing hard. The flow is there. I don't know, Shasky. I don't know how you can't be on board with what you've seen from Orlando. Kudos to Silver and the NBA for putting on a good show. And guess what? We're 5 or 4 games from the games actually counting. What are we going to see when it's go time, when it's the offs?
I can't wait. I'm loving everything I'm seeing. Last few nights, we've had your Lakers on, Guru, your particular Lakers on, and I'm poking holes in why I don't love them as the team coming out of the West, to be honest with you. Watching Quinn Cook, I mean, my goodness, Quinn Cook. I can't believe that I convinced myself that Quinn Cook would be a contributor on the Warriors and make a positive impact. That guy can't guard anything. Can't guard anything and anyone. Chris Paul was getting anything he wanted. Are we sleeping
Chris
on OKC?
Paul.
Are we sleeping on OKC?
That athleticism. No, I'm not, B. You told me, B. I'll give you credit. That athleticism and that length. And skinny Chris Paul, I'm all in.
A lot of people laughed at me when I said OKC will be a problem with Chris Paul. That's an underrated team.
I was one of them.
They're going to be tough.
Please.
Will they make the second round? I don't know, because the West is deep. It is deep. But my team that's going to the NBA Finals is Toronto Raptors out the East.
You're adopting the Raptors, B?
Toronto.
Okay, Drake.
Dude, yeah, I look like Drake. Wow. You know what I'm saying? When I was single, baby, it worked for me. Hey, when I was single, baby, that wasn't a bad thing.
Drake's nutrition level is significantly better than yours.
Yeah. Oh, Van Vliet's brother over here with Bonte.
Than all of us. See, I've been seeing some stuff, Shasky. You've been eating good during the pandemic, that's for sure. Toronto in the East.
Sizes.
Look, Miami and Milwaukee. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't see it, Shaz. I'm not going to go there. Miami-Milwaukee. I'm telling you, Miami and Toronto are the two teams in the East that I think are going to make a lot of noise in the Western Conference. I like OKC, but I still like those Clippers. I still like the Clippers.
Ah, man. Lou Williams hasn't been, you know, they just haven't been on the same, you know, they haven't been clicking on all cylinders, the Clippers. Lou Williams out, Harold out, they come back. That's the favorite pick, I get it. But the biggest disappointment to me in the bubble is Zion and what he has let. It's like he's been eating hot links with double cheese every day. Butch, how did he blow up? I gave him compliments about 3 weeks ago. It looked like he had his swole on. His arms looked good. But the fact Instagram. That they got their 10th life and they got – because I think this was the Pelican rule, why they added teams to the bubble to, you know, within this four game. And then you're just going to go let your body go, and then Gentry's not going to play you like there's nothing at stake. I'm shocked from what I've seen from New Orleans or their lack of.
Am I a hater if I'm rooting against the Clippers for a variety of reasons? Like, oh, I mean it. Like, I'm looking at the Clippers, and I know the Warriors did this as well. So I know I'm giving out a double standard. But, like, I don't want to see them be rewarded for just the way they piece together the season. You know, we're going to sit Kawhi here and there. He's never going to play, you know, any of the tough games. You know, we could pick and choose how we want to do this thing. We're going to bump our chests all year like we've already won something. I already, like, can't stand Doc Rivers to begin with. I think he's a massive underachievement, and we give him credit like he's one of the greatest coaches ever, which he is not. And I just, I don't know. And I obviously don't like the Clippers because of what happened with the Warriors and them. But am I a hater because I'm actively rooting against them?
Kind of. I mean, look, I get the L.A. to the Bay rivalry, but I'm a Kawhi fan. And it felt like during the pandemic, everybody forgot about Kawhi Leonard. You know, leading the Raptors to the championship. Now, you can put an asterisk on it if you want. If you want, because we know if Kevin Durant was healthy –
His run
last year, game four against the Philadelphia 76ers with the Raptors down 2-1. Game three against the Bucks. I mean, Kawhi Leonard. Game five against the Bucks in Milwaukee. Kawhi Leonard just took over basketball games. And the Lakers, I just, everything's about the Lakers. I saw Doris Burke and Mark Jones. I saw a tweet yesterday. I think it was from Jason Maples. They didn't talk about the OKC Thunder for 30 minutes on the broadcast. Everything's about LeBron. Everything's about AD.
Well, they got the number one seed, Bonte.
I don't care. It's all about Alice Caruso and Danny Green and, oh, man, Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith.
I like Caruso.
I don't care about the damn Lakers.
Until you need them, Butch. Yeah, I like Caruso too, but right now with what I'm seeing, you know, and I told Spadoni, hey, look, I'm not going to ring the alarm on the Lakers and the fact that they don't got that third score. I thought it could be Waiters or Kuzma. The fact that they locked up the seed, number one seed, we see teams cruise. They're not playing for anything, but I'll give them credit. LeBron's out there logging minutes. They're trying to figure something out, and I guess the culture needs Kawhi against older LeBron and AD, right? Isn't that what the Western Conference is about? But I do believe if the Blazers get in, or OKC and the Clippers were to meet them, that would be a tough series. But Bonte, I'm excited about a few teams in the West, and now Ben Simmons has gone down in the East with a hyperextended, I don't know what it is, hyperextended knee. That's not good. So I don't know what we're going to get, but the bubble has been perfect, and I'll end it with this.
Dislocated knee for Ben
Simmons. I'm going science with this, Shasky and Bonte. How has the NBA not had a player test positive for COVID, what seems like almost 6 months? I know I'm adding on to that.
Because they have a bubble.
They're pitching a perfect game in regard on how to handle this thing. It's just kudos to everybody involved, and
agreed.
I mean that.
Well, and Disney deserves a lot of credit for a step into the plate and putting together the facility. I mean, a lot of things had to come in play for them to be able to pull this off, and they are pulling it off. And I think just television, because I told you,
man,
it's a television product. Sports is a television product. As much as I love going to games,
reality
it's about the TV product. The TV product is really good. I mean, it's really good. I think everybody was like, what's it going to look like? Barkley was over here chipping away at whether, you know, it's going to feel different for the players because there's no fans. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it's been great. The one thing I don't like is, like, Paul Pierce on his couch being, like, superimposed in the background. I'm not feeling any of that for, like, Celtic
games.
He's
being a fan. I thought you related to that.
Paul Pierce is not a fan. Paul Pierce is a blowhard. I'm so sick of Paul Pierce. He's another 34. One. Him, Doc
he's
Rivers. I can't stand
he's a
him.
Hall of Famer.
The truth.
He's a Hall of
What's
Famer.
What's the question if he's the
Hall
truth?
Of Famer.
Get out of here.
He's a Hall
Come
of Famer.
Come on, Butch.
You better leave Paul
he's
Pierce
like
alone.
Come on, yeah.
See, that's a problem.
You're 2-1 now,
right.
Butch. Don't disrespect him, man.
Yeah, Paul
give
Pierce,
the dude his propers.
Give him his props from Kansas and then
Stay
Boston.
In your lane.
Man, Hall of Famer? Y'all can hate on the analyst, Paul Pierce, but the guy was an absolute baller. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. He's also a baller. Rob, what's happening, man?
I'm out on Paul Pierce.
Yeah, please. What's up, Rob?
Paul Pierce is a monster. You put some respect on his name. Hey, but look, I've been loving the bubble, too. Hey, what y'all think about the Blazers? I feel like if Dame get in the playoffs, I think he's the best closer in the bubble right now. I feel like it's close. I feel like if it's close, the Lakers don't want them problems. Plus, you know, Portland got
five. No, they don't.
He can step out and shoot. And the sign, you know, he's going to block a few shots. He can get you 10 and 10 and a couple blocks. So I feel like if the Blazers get in and if it's close, I feel like Dame the best closer in the game. You've been watching Carmelo been making big shots at the end of games. McCullough balling. Trent, what's his name?
Nurkic, Rob. What about Nurkic? He's out there balling. Nurkic has been balling.
Gary Trent Jr. too.
Oh, my goodness.
They balling. So I feel like if they get in there, I don't think nobody wants them problems. Who right now can guard Dame Lillard? Because Dame done put out hard. He done put out Paul George and Westbrook with
bye-bye.
There's nobody in the league that can guard that guy.
The Lakers can't guard the perimeter. That's their Achilles heel. They can't guard the perimeter.
Rob, let me get in here real quick, guys.
Rob was on fire.
Anthony Davis swept them just a couple of years ago by himself. Who's guarding Anthony Davis? Well, Zach Collins? Well, like, I'm asking out loud.
Rajon Rondo had a great series in Jrue Holiday. You had a really good defender.
That was a different era,
man. That was a different team. This team with the Blazers. Nurkic is there now.
CJ McCollum
is there now. Zach Collins is older.
Come on.
Hey, man.
Skinny Mello.
Hey, there's some truth to the Lakers and their guard play. Their guard play.
Yes.
They're going to have to rely on Rajon Rondo. And LeBron James, he is settling for the three-pointer, hasn't been putting his hand down, going to the rack. Maybe Father Time is knocking on the door. Maybe it is.
Portland, so you're saying Portland's problem, beating the Lakers?
I didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay, I got my popcorn, I got my popcorn. The Lakers don't want those problems, and I'm not a Blazer fan. I'm just telling you what I see. The Lakers, they don't shoot the three well already, and it's just like 2-on-5 offensively. And now you got Trent Jr. I mean, his daddy was a beast, but he's balling now. Blazers got a little bit of everything.
Except winning in the playoffs as a resume. You know, everything but that, they have.
Western Conference Finals last year, Butch.
And they got smoked. They got absolutely smoked by a team with one leg. Like, ridiculous. I mean, come on.
I mean, they didn't get swept by Bubs. They got swept by Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. Yeah. Come on. What are you talking about? The champs there. Hey, look, man.
You're not a Dame fan? Butch, you're not a Dame fan?
I think we disproportionately overrate Damian Lillard based off the metrics that we want to use. I love the fact – look, I love his offense.
You
the guy don't guard nobody, though.
You better not go to Oakland, California anytime soon. Don't go to Oakland anytime soon, Butcher.
I'll say it out loud. Again, like, I just don't like the Blazers.
I'll put his defense up there with Steph.
They talk a lot, and they've done nothing. Again, I like Dame. He's going to go down as one of the great Blazers of all time. Like, there's no question about it. But win something significant, Dame. Right. He was hating on the Warriors being a super team. He's hating on this guy being a super team. Well, then you're never going to win anything. That's part of the job. Ask Derrick Rose. He didn't want to recruit anyone in Chicago.
What happened?
Part of the job of being the face of an organization is you got to recruit people. I'm sorry.
Right. And Derrick Rose didn't recruit people, and it backfired on him.
Exactly.
Damian Lillard tried to recruit some guys. He tried to recruit Melo a couple years ago. Tried to get Melo up there to Portland a couple years ago.
But him and CJ got a good thing going right now.
Don't disrespect
Melo. I'm just saying, don't underestimate him.
CJ McCollum,
he can score with the best of them. They got size. I'm just telling you, watch out for Portland if they get in.
What's up with you disrespected Hall of Famers today? Hall of Famers, Melo, Paul Pierce, Damian Lillard.
You want Brandon Belt's number 9 to get retired. that hurt me, Butch. I was listening in the back room.
I didn't say that.
I thought I heard you say that.
I said it happening. I said I can see it happening.
You're going to talk about Paul Pierce, and you got cutouts
like
all across Oracle Park. And you got a cutout. Talk about,
five
hey, guys, what
fakes.
Pictures did I pick?
Five pump fakes, and then, I'm going to go to the free throw line 11 times a game. Like, I've just been
fundamentally sound.
But you love James Harden, though. He does the same damn thing.
So does Bonte. But go ahead, Butch.
All right. Antonio in Oakland.
Step back, daddy.
Antonio in Oakland. What's happening? You're on 95.7 the game.
Hey, what's happening to you guys? Yeah, I kind of agree with Shaq a little bit. I think Lillard is, I don't want to say he's overrated, but, like, you know, when him and other people think he's in Steph's category, nah, he's more in tier 2, you know, like, he's really good.
Exactly.
He got all that, you know. But yeah, like at Portland, they do got a good team. I think they can at least probably win like two games against the Lakers in the first round. You know, but at the same time, like Portland's got swept three straight years now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think their GM or something a while back said, "Oh yeah, the NBA, they're jealous of our backcourt." Like, nobody's jealous of a freaking backcourt that hasn't won anything. You know, it's like, come on now. You know, so I think Portland, you know, like as far as their backcourt goes, they are explosive, but they got to win something for people to be jealous about, right? I mean, that's something the Warriors GM should say about Stephen Clay. People are jealous of our backcourt, not Portland's backcourt.
That's what phone call, Antonio.
Our backcourt's not playing, Antonio, and nobody's jealous.
Did you just admit you're a Laker fan? Wait a minute.
I said our Warriors. Speaking of Golden State.
I thought you were talking about the Lakers. Listen. I'm sitting there hanging.
You can't hate with the Blazers taking advantage right now of the bubble. They were out of it, and now they got action. I just don't understand why you're hating, but it sounds like hating.
No, I'm not hating. I'm not hating. This is what it is. Every year, there are certain teams that are great regular season teams, and then they get into the playoffs, and they just don't match up with teams. And the playoffs is different. Going in and playing one team one night, another team the next night, it's different than a seven-game series, all right? And they only have so many pieces to work with, and I look at the matchups, and I'm saying, okay, let's say they play the Clippers. I mean, there's a bunch of matchups that I don't
like
for them. Kawhi Leonard, what? But that's problematic for everyone in the league. Same thing when I say the Lakers. Like, who's guarding Anthony Davis? Who's guarding LeBron? Like, don't get me wrong. The Lakers have their own issues trying to guard Damian Lillard and McCollum and all those guys. But Zach Collins is going to go out on the perimeter and try to mark up Anthony Davis? I'm a big Zach Collins fan. I like him. I really do like Zach Collins. But I mean,
What about Whiteside? Nurkic?
Whiteside can't be trusted for anything.
All right.
Nurkic, you're right there, but Nurkic is playing well, man. Yeah. Blazers, man. They got guards that can light you up.
By the way, Nurkic playing well. What was he doing on that inbound play the other day to end the game? I mean, his lack of awareness is alarming.
Don't let that define him.
Right, exactly. Guy just almost mangled his leg. He's back. He looks active. Right. But what KD did to the Warriors, it was sinister in regard to holding anybody like the Rockets. They didn't have enough. Nobody had that firepower. So for Dame just to get his team to the Western Conference Finals, you knew they had no shot. Even though Durant wasn't playing last year, I don't hold that against Dame when KD came to town for the last 3 years, Butch. That was filthy. It was unfair. So I don't hold anybody, feet to the fire about not beating that Warrior team.
And the thing with Dame, too, he was disrespected by – remember Russell Westbrook when he was like, you're not an all-star.
Well,
there's all-stars, and it was just, like, disrespectful. And people were disrespecting Dame Dollar when he was the only guy up there in Portland. The guy – remember the team he lost after saying bye-bye to the Rockets way back when?
Oh.
And he lost Aldridge, Batum, Wesley Matthews, Robin Lowe. He had lost – his entire starting unit. And he still took that team back to the playoffs. Last year, lost Nurkic. Still beat the Nuggets at 7. Still waved bye-bye to Russell Westbrook and Paul George and pulled up from 30 feet. Dame Dollar's a killer, man. Put some respect on his name. I'm saying Portland is going to give the Lakers hell in that first round. The Lakers, number one, they're not hitting the three-pointers right now. They're not hitting their three shot. It's killing them right now. They can't shoot. They better figure it out. You can't just develop a jump shot overnight.
Yeah.
Dame is awesome. Everyone says he's awesome. He's not one of the top one or even two best point guards of this generation. Love the guy, but you got to do something in the playoffs. I mean, as much
he's
as I can't
some things
stand
in the
Chris
playoffs.
Paul, what's he done?
He's done more
he
than Chris
known
Paul.
For getting swept out. That's what he's most known for.
Hey,
the one shot where the game was tied, the one shot against Denver, I'll give you that. That was an incredible, iconic moment. The photo was incredible. It was amazing. But again, I love the guy. You got to win something. He's great. He's awesome. But he's got to win something during this time.
Shasky, he's gone to the same amount of Western Conference Finals as Chris Paul.
And who's the better player overall?
At this stage of their careers,
no,
Damian Lillard's better
general,
right now.
In general. No,
Chris Paul's had a
better.
Hall of Fame career, but let's see Damian Lillard's career play out. Right now, who you taking, Chris Paul or Damian Lillard?
Of course you're taking
Dame Dollar. Dame Dollar's been a better player over the last 3-4 years of their career.
You want to talk about playoff failures? Chris Paul was the point guard on that Clipper team that let the Rockets come back on him up 3-1.
I won't deny that.
What happened to Lob City? It went in flames.
His final act, though, is in Oklahoma City has really it's some icing on the top of the cake. You got to give the guy a credit, man. I mean, he deserves it.
I cannot wait for the offs, man.
Dame's great. Dame's great, but this thing that he's underrated, he's not underrated. He's an all-star every year.
Nobody said he's underrated. He's an all-star. He's an all-pro.
Who? I see it all the time.
From who?
I just see it all the time. He's underappreciated. He's got
NBA Twitter. Stay off of NBA Twitter. It is toxic. They will rip your old player if it's not their favorite player. NBA Twitter is a joke. It's a joke. It is just hating on top of hating on top of hating on top of hating. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. Here's what Steve Kerr. Remember we were playing Steve Kerr sound yesterday. He was on with Bill Simmons on the Ringer. Here's what he said about missing out on the bubble. Here's Steve Kerr on missing out on the NBA bubble.
So when the Orlando thing happened, you know, I don't think a lot of us were that disappointed, you know, to not be invited. You know, especially the guys who have been part of this thing the last 6 years, you know, Steph, Draymond, Clay, you know, they guys needed a rest. They just needed to get away. But now that it's going, I haven't talked to those guys about it. Actually, I talked to Draymond about it, but I haven't talked to Steph or Clay. But Draymond and I both kind of feel the same way, which is we kind of want to be there. Like, we're missing out.
Right.
These games look fun. I think the NBA is doing a great job. The games are competitive. Players look great. And, to not be there is actually kind of painful.
Steve Kerr.
Wow.
Steve Kerr, it is painful not to see the Warriors in this bubble. Yeah, absolutely. We have a Tiger update. I think we have a Tiger update.
Hey, it's Tiger.
The California native who lives in Jupiter, Florida, has back-to-back birdies. He's 2-under, a couple of shots off the lead. Let's go, Harding Park. Let's go. About four holes to go here, guys. Four holes to go.
Is this a major? If he were to win this, is this considered a major?
That's guru.
Yes,
wow.
This is a major. This is huge. So if he wins this, he'd be at 16, all right? Jack, all-time leader in majors, has 18. Right now, Tiger's sitting at 15. If he could win this one, it would be big. Last time Tiger came out here, 2009 for the President's Cup, the famous club twirl. Before that, 2005, he beat John Daly, match play on the 18th green.
Wow.
Just giving you all the Tiger stuff, boys. I'm so fired up. Let's go. Hey, Steve Kerr on this thing. Steve Kerr said, it's just interesting with Steve Kerr. I mean this, guys. It's interesting. Steve Kerr, he's like me. He goes back and forth. I'm presented with new information. I love to see
love
how much
it.
Now he's valuing regular games.
No, it's both
games.
You guys. It's his whole presented
because
with new information.
Because for the longest time, they didn't value regular games.
The information's there. You guys just don't pay attention to the information.
Giving the clipboard to Draymond Green saying, hey, you coach the game. It's good to see that he's valuing these moments.
And I'll say this. The Warriors get their hearts just broken in Game 7 against Cleveland. And the deodorant and fallout of that is you go get Kevin Durant. You win two back-to-back. Should have been three. So now I'm looking at Clay gets hurt. Steph gets hurt. Different injuries, of course. But now you get with COVID, all this downtime. So – fellas, when the balls tip come December and when next season starts, Bonte, and you got this rookie pick, if you don't trade it, could be Aaron Gordon in town. Mitty, Smitty, where from? What high school?
Mitty, Archbishop Mitty.
Mitty, I'm eager to see what the new Warriors – yeah, that was the policeman's name. But you get where I'm going. What are the new Warriors going to look like, fellas? I'm juiced.
Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Nick Bosa has spoken to the media. We'll play that sound.
Let's go.
He's got a comment on offseason workouts in the Super Bowl. You want to hear this comment about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54, in which the 49ers lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. 31-20? I already forgot the damn score. It was just not pretty. The last touchdown by Damian Williams. Got to put some icing on the cake there. So we'll talk about Nick Bosa here coming up on BSNG. Dirty Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy. All sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Nick Bosa's back at training camp. What does Nick Bosa have in store for year number two of his NFL career? He was ranked number 17 on the top 100 by the players. Highest rookie defensive end ever.
Super eager.
Yeah, he's super eager. He's super eager to get started. Let's just roll right into Nick Bosa here. Nick Bosa on the start of training camp, fellas. Here's Nick Bosa on the start of training camp.
I think everybody, not just football players across the world right now, are anxious and ready to, and it feels good to just get outside and move around and be around other people and socialize. And I honestly feel like people's social skills are a little off right now because we've been locked away for so long, and we're just getting used to communicating again and laughing and making jokes and all that stuff. So it's just fun to be around other people, and especially the people that you haven't seen in a while and you went through a lot with last year. So just being around the guys, and it's really just taking a lot of stress out of my mind, and I'm enjoying it a lot, and I'm really excited for the year to come because I think we have added some great pieces, and we've obviously lost a couple, but the people we've added have came in and impressed me, and I'm just super excited to get going.
Bosa, it sounds like our Brian Ratto, huh? He's got a little Brian Ratto
super
in him.
Super eager.
I'll say this right now, Shasky, and I mean this, Bonte. I know we talk about J.J. Watts and, you know, Clowney sometime. And right now, after this rookie season he had, Bosa, to me, I just can't wait to see the encore. What is it going to look like, life after Buckner? He is a beast, the barbarian. He's the leader. And I was a guy, I keep it real, on these same airwaves, but he's always hurt. What if he gets hurt? And he went out there, and if he would have got that fumble that he caused Mahomes in the fourth quarter, the Niners would have hosted the Lombardi Trophy. They didn't. But, man, Butch and Bonte, you're just getting started in year two of this dude's career, man. His arrow is up, not up. I mean, it's up. I mean, yeah. Man.
We'll get to what my expectations are, and I want to hear your guys' opinions. But I got a lot of Clay vibes from him. Not that he's – you know, but like, he's so sure with who he is, you know what I mean? And he's kind of just himself. He doesn't try to be anyone else. He's just kind of in the moment. And I also think that, like, all he wants to do is just play football. Like, I really do. Like, the same way Klay Thompson just wants to play basketball, and that's all he's here for. Like, I get that same kind of feeling from Bosa here. I love him. Like, there's nothing this guy can do wrong right now. I love him.
9 sacks, 25 quarterback hits a year ago. And then we talk about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl.
Man.
Here's what he had to say about that pivotal 3rd and 15.
Gotten that question a bunch. I mean, yeah, I don't like thinking about that game very much, but I have gone back and I've watched up until the fourth quarter. And was I held? I mean, it's pretty... It comes down to the opinion of a human being, so and that's what refs are. They're human beings, so if they think it's holding, then they think it's holding. It could have been holding. It could have not been holding. Just depends what he thinks. And I'm not going to say that's the reason we lost the game, because there's plenty of opportunities where I could have done better. I could have done better on that move on 3rd and 15. I'm sure Buck is kicking himself, and he thinks he could have done better on the wrap and could have gotten there a little quicker. So I'm not going to blame the ref by any means. And, yeah, it's definitely good motivation. First year you get there and you're 7 minutes away and a nightmare of a situation happens. So, you could bet that we're going to come back pretty strong this year if we're able to get 16 games in the playoffs.
Man, if the Niners would have won that Super Bowl, Bosa could have made a case that he was the best player on the football field. He could have been named the Super Bowl MVP. I think he had like 12 quarterback hits in that game. He was just relentless. The Seattle game, just relentless. The second one up there in Seattle. Bosa, on that 3rd and 15, looks like he was held, but you know what? Mosley, just get back to your zone. Get back to your zone. That ball was hung up in the air. Should have been the Niners' 3rd interception. Instead, it was Tyreek Hill making a big play for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we know what happened after that.
First off, forget the Mosley part, all right? Forget that part. He was being choke-held Not even, it was like a WWE chokehold. I thought he was going to get DDT'd into the ground. Like, let's be real, what happened on that play? And again, oh, it's not the ref's fault. On that one play, it was a clear hold. I thought he was getting held almost the whole game, to be honest with you. How that offensive line, that particular offensive line, and this defensive line, which got the most holds in the NFL, didn't have one? There wasn't one hold in that entire game? That one drove me nuts. Obviously, if Quan Alexander intercepts that ball the couple of plays prior, they get out of that drive. Obviously, if the holding call was called, you know, they don't even get that throw off. It's just, there's so many woulda, coulda, shouldas. It's just, it drives me nuts. And that play, I'm never going to forget that play. Yeah. There's no other way around it. That play is going to live in infamy.
And you know what, Butch and Bonte, the NFL's not going to let you forget that play. You know what I mean? And I'm not hating on Mahomes, but the one thing I hate about that Super Bowl and how it finished is the narrative was, oh, the great Mahomes can never be stopped. And the Niners, Bonte, they did everything in their power. Troy Aikman, before that 3rd and 15, I don't know if you know this, Butch, out of his mouth, these were the words right before the ball's hiked on 3rd and 15. Mahomes hasn't played well today. And then, bam, that play happens, and he was held. I'll say this. Bosa, I'll go Dr. Phil for you. Keep watching that play over and over and over up until week one against Arizona so you can be fuming, you can be mad, and you can take it out on the Birds and Kyler Murray, because those are things and thought processes that'll get you through, because he should be supporting that ring. And I'm saying, go.
Goo, you're cutting out on us over there. I'm just going to say this. I'll never get over that game. I'll never get over that play. I'll never get over that quarter. It's just one of those losses that's going to stick with you forever. Giants have won 3 titles. Have I gotten over 2002? No. Like, I'm never going to get over them losing that game the way they did in that fourth quarter, Bonte. It's really hard. And anytime that play gets brought up,
I just remember the setting here in 95-7 the game, because we did a post-game show right after that game. And there was a sense that I got in the room. The energy was the Niners had already won the Super Bowl. It was over. People were comfortable. They were laughing. They were joking. I don't know what the hell you were doing. I was watching the game. All right.
I was sitting down.
I was watching the game. All right. I'm just telling you what the atmosphere was in the room.
Wow.
And when I was sitting on the edge of my seat, and I'm muttering to myself, one more stop, one more stop, one more stop. And when that 3rd and 15 got completed, I kind of knew the Niners were in trouble. I said, well, I didn't think they were going to lose the game per se, but I was like, oh, boy, here come the Chiefs. They're right back in it. And then what happens on 3rd and 10? You get pass interference. Pass interference on Tarvarius Moore against Travis Kelce. Doesn't even turn his head around. Now all of a sudden, Chiefs are cooking. Now all of a sudden, they're in the rhythm. All of a sudden, they're going to Sammy Watkins deep down the field. I'm just saying,
on Sherman,
the atmosphere, and I bet you a lot of Niner fans probably felt like that. They thought the game was over, Goo. They really did. And that 3rd and 15, everything flipped. So, have I watched the Super Bowl over? I've watched it about 10 times now. I watched it about 10 times.
10?
Oh,
10?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm on 13. Quarantine, Butch.
I can't get enough. I can't get enough of it. I'm going to watch it even more.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it even more.
Butch, I'll be honest. I didn't jinx your team. But when the Niners got that second pick in the Super Bowl, I thought it was over, and they went and took the end zone picture. You remember that, when they got the second one, it looked like it hit the ground, and they got it. I was at the juncture of, oh, this baby's over. Put the kids to sleep. Take the cake out the oven. The Niners are about to do it. And from that point on, it got bad. It just got bad.
No. I remember distinctively trying to keep Bonte and Nash and Tommy from all fighting each other in the fourth quarter.
Oh, whoa.
But I remember distinctively I don't sit when I'm watching the games. I pace around.
Oh, I've
I
seen
jump around.
You. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you know, and so I was literally bending over on the side of one of the couches watching. I was like cringing the whole time saying, we got to get a stop. Because every single time the ball is in Mahomes' hands, I think that this could be an 80-yard touchdown.
Oh,
like, that's the way I view him. It's the same way when I watch Russell Wilson play. I can't be calm at any point, at any time. Like, I think this guy's going to do something. And I'm yelling, sack him. I can't get over the way that game unfolded at the end, because they didn't just lose. Yeah. I mean, the wheels completely fell off, and it was a team-wide, systematic meltdown. That's the only way I can put it.
Let's hear from Nick Bosa on Javon Kinlaw, first round pick. A lot of people, mixed feelings on whether or not the Niners should have drafted another defensive lineman. Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina goes 14 overall to the 49ers. Here's what Nick Bosa had to say about Kinlaw.
Javon is a really good kid. He's really hardworking in the meeting room. He knows all his stuff really well. He doesn't seem like a rookie out there. We've only been out to a couple walkthroughs so far, and he knows his stuff, and he doesn't look like a rookie. And like I said before in an interview, he's one of the biggest humans I've ever seen in person. And that says a lot when you've had Eric and Buck on your team. So I'm just excited for him to have this opportunity, and I think he's going to kill it.
Kinlaw. I really like the pick. I do, man. This guy popped out on tape. You see the Alabama game. I know they got smoked by the Crimson Tide, but who doesn't get smoked by Alabama down in the SEC? Kinlaw can play, man. He could get after the quarterback. And you just look at the photos that he's taken so far with the Niners. Guy is massive. He is huge. And I just wish. I'm praying, fellas.
Little body
that we
get training
camp access to see this guy hit the sled, because I want to see how big this guy really is.
I thought bodies didn't matter. Let me ask you this, sports, Butch. But we'll get to that later.
Oh, that's a good
one. Don't talk about dogs. Don't change the narrative. Don't change the goalposts.
I've had body envy. Yeah, I see.
Don't change the goalposts.
I was like, whoa.
Talking about
man,
a defensive tackle. Would you want him to be 215 with no body fat? Come on, man. You ever play football
before? Let me ask you this about Kinlaw. Of course, the goal is to make his own niche. It's his career in the NFL. But is it fair of me to, like, he has to feel Buck's shoes? Or is that on Sala too? I mean, because when I think of Kinlaw and I get excited, I'm just like, he's got to be Buck. He's got to do what Buck did. And Bontan Shasky, he may be better than Buck, but is that fair of me in looking at his rookie season through that prism? Like, if this team is going to get back and do what they did and repeat or get close, he's got to have that Buckner production. I just hate that I'm looking at it that way and not giving him – he's a rookie. You gotta, you know, there's gonna be some bumps, there's gonna be some turbulence. Don't expect him to do it by himself to replace that DeForest Buckner production.
He's not just a rookie. He's a rookie with no training camp, with no OTAs, no mini camps. I mean, look, there's just a lot. He's replacing a guy who was very popular amongst his own teammates, amongst the fan base, and he was extremely productive. So it's a lot to ask this kid. I mean, it really is. It's a lot to ask. Can he beat double teams? Can he beat one-on-ones? Can he beat the man in front of him? Wow. Can he be a contributor from day one? That's my biggest question. It's not necessarily about, you know, can he be Buckner? Can he just be a contributor? Because I watched Solomon Thomas. We had, oh my God, expectations through the roof, and he didn't meet any of them. He can't even get on the field consistently. So if Kinlaw can just get on the field consistently, I think that will be a big, big start. I'm not looking for him to be DeForest Buckner. That's way too much to ask.
Well, not right now.
But at the end of the day, no doubt. They chose Armstead over Buckner.
Yeah, but
I know it was contractual-wise, but that's how
it's a lot to ask.
Here's the thing with Kinlaw. He is a first-round pick. He's one of the first defensive linemen selected off the board. A lot of people said he was going to go to top 10. He falls out of the top 10. He goes to the top 15. I'm not expecting him to be Buckner, but if he doesn't contribute right away, then I would be worried. I would be worried about this defensive line having the same type of production that they did a season ago. One thing that gets glossed over is that this defense gave up 4.7 yards a carry, 4.7 yards a carry on the ground. And we saw some games, most notably the Rams game, the first one down in L.A., where they ran the ball down the Niners' throat. First 7-8 plays in the drive, they did all running plays, whether it's jet sweeps, going right up the gut. They ran the ball down their throat. Washington did the same thing in the monsoon, ran the ball down their throat. Kinlaw, I want to see him be a space eater, beat double teams, and just get out to the quarterback. I think Kinlaw, man, he has that motor. I need him to be a little more than just a contributor. I need him to be a little more than that, because Solomon Thomas is basically a contributor, and he's a top three pick.
Contributors being very friendly.
I'm being kind.
This relies a lot on DJ Jones. How healthy is DJ Jones? Is he going to be impactful again like he was last year? To me, he was the biggest injury. I mean, we know Dee Ford, you know, basically was injured throughout the year and his snaps were limited. We know Quan Alexander missed time. But when DJ Jones came out, that they couldn't stuff the run at all. Like, they missed him big time. So I would like to see a healthy DJ Jones this year. I think that takes a little pressure off of Kinlaw. I don't know. It's a lot to ask Kinlaw with not a lot of training, not a lot of reps.
Well, he's been working out. I mean, look, you're a defensive lineman. He's been working out. I don't think he's coming into camp where he's just totally out of shape. And he's in training camp on time.
I'm not saying shape.
Good. I mean,
I'm not saying shape, but there's a lot of little subtleties.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's a lot of learning curve.
But you don't think he's been on a Zoom with Coach Kocerek?
Oh, no doubt.
Zoom is one thing. Being on the practice field is another.
But what about this? It all goes back to Bosa. Now that he doesn't have Buck, and we talked about the impact Buck had, you know, he's going to see more double teams, Bosa. We saw him getting chipped at times, you know, getting up off the ground like a cat, a quick cat. I'm just wondering how it's going to affect Bosa. Yeah.
And Buckner had a lot of cleanup plays, B. He had a lot of cleanup plays where Bosa or Ford made the quarterback step up in the pocket, and then all of a sudden DeForest Buckner came up and cleaned up the play.
Here's what Nick Bosa had to say about his offseason workouts and what he worked on in the offseason.
I got some pretty concrete things that I've been focusing on. One is just having a better plan going into games. And last year, I didn't really know what was going to work and what wasn't and what was my go-to and what was. So, just coming into games with a better plan and not wasting any time out there, because you only get so many opportunities. And if you want to get those big numbers and help your team as best you can and get the ball out, you have to come in with a plan and not waste any rushes. So, that's one big thing. And then just working my hands more consistently. I win a lot at the top of my rush, but a lot of the times I get washed by the quarterback or I don't close enough space and finish the play. So that's probably been the biggest emphasis for me. And I've been working that in walkthroughs and in drills all season. A couple new moves that I might add. Those are the main things, really.
Nick Bosa. Some long answers there. I'm not mad at him. Yeah. Not mad at him.
Trying to get better.
Look, 9 sacks last year, 25 quarterback hits. What is Nick Bosa going to do? What are the expectations for Nick Bosa in year number 2?
If he can get up to 16 games played, which, I'm working off they're going to play 16 games. 14 sacks, to me, that's the number. 14 is the number. I think he can get over 40. I think teams are going to be really, really gearing up to try to slow him down, whether that's putting the tight end out there to chip him, fullbacks, things like that, maybe throwing a bunch of screens in his direction. I think they're going to try to do a lot of pre-snap stuff and then obviously specific play design stuff to try to minimize his pass rushing ability. I really do, B. I think they're going to go at him. We know he stuffs the run, but I think teams are going to try to run at him to slow him down and wear him out a little.
Ooh, that's dangerous, Guru.
Yeah. Hey, hashtag random. I want to know what Matt and what love they gave Bosa's overall
89.
Rating.
Boom. 89.
Oh, man, get out of here. But boom. With that said, you know, the neat part about these D linemen, and Bonte, I love you because you always say this, it's not just the sack number, it's the pressures.
Exactly.
And in the Super Bowl, he didn't get enough love for the pressures. Yep. He got to Mahomes, made him fumble, and Mahomes got it back. But dude's a beast. I'm here for it. I just want to know, can he duplicate last year's success? Can he get better without Buck? That's just the D-line story, and Saleh's going to have to help manipulate or formulate something to where teams can't just, oh, we got to stop Bosa, and then we'll be okay. Nah, you gotta move him. You got to get creative.
Yeah, no, I like to see him doing a lot of stunts here on his defense and move around, but teams, I think they're going to be weary of Nick Bosa. They're going to slide their passing plays away from Nick Bosa, I believe. Running the ball at him, good luck with that. Good luck with that. You see the way he hit Dalvin Cook last year? Nick Bosa, the run game, is an absolute monster, which I massively underrated his ability to play against the run. I knew he was a good pass rusher, but damn, the way he played against the run was next level. You got a game plan. But one thing you said, Guru, about Buckner. Buckner did take on a lot of double teams. He helped free up guys like Armstead and Bosa and Dee Ford when he was healthy. Can Kinlaw do the same thing? And that's what I'm looking for with Kinlaw to help out Bosa, because if Kinlaw's not, if he's not effective and he's not making an impact on the football
field,
that's
a big step back.
Then Nick Bosa, boy, he's going to see doubles and triples, and he's not going to get to the quarterback. That's why 14 sacks, I think the pressures will be up there. 14 sacks is asking for a lot. If he could get 12, 13, 14, that's great.
They need D-Ford to be healthy. Like, guys, they really need D-Ford on the opposite side to be healthy.
You're
because
right.
I think the complimentary pass rusher opposite him is as important as any interior lineman next to him. Like, I really do. I think that they absolutely need D-Ford. When D-Ford's out there, their pass rush goes from really good to elite. Like, that's the difference between, because then you have the power and the speed with Bosa and the unbelievable speed and the timing on the snap from D-Ford on the opposite side. Like, they really need D-Ford. Like, they do. They need a fully healthy D-Ford who can play all these games and can play a majority of the snaps this year. That would, I think, be more beneficial than even, like, if Kinlaw's great, gravy. I mean, that's gravy for me. I need D-Ford, who I'm paying a lot of money to. That's the guy I need to step up this year.
What about the other guy? Go ahead, Guru.
No, I was just going to say, I don't want to be negative, fellas, but is that why we saw Jordan get signed? Is that why they thought they needed another body? Because just to me, I'm like, oh, it's just a camp body. But I'm just curious, do they know something, or how confident are they in a guy like D-Ford remaining healthy?
Not only D-Ford, but DJ Jones, Blair, Julian Taylor. You got a lot of injuries on that defensive line, and you had some knee injury, on that defensive line. I'm a little worried about the depth of that defensive line. So maybe it's just to add depth, but they probably are concerned with D-Ford because he wasn't healthy all last season. It started in training camp with the tendonitis and everything. Like, his whole leg was about to fall off, it felt like. Every other week there was a leg injury with D-Ford, so I think that's why they did add Deion Jordan. Hey, let's – real quick, Eric Davis is going to join us at 1 o'clock, former Super Bowl chat with the Niners back in 94, 95. ED, the former cornerback, he'll join us at 1 o'clock to talk about this season with the 49ers. Trent Williams, we all forget about that draft day edition. Niners traded for Trent Williams on day number two of the draft, or excuse me, day three of the draft. Traded a third round pick. Here's what Trent Williams had to say about 49er practices.
Oh, most certainly. I mean, the walkthrough, he said it was a run through. I said it was a game, you know, but coming from where I came from, walkthrough was a walkthrough. I mean, I walked through here was, you know, it's pretty intense. It's a lot of focus, a lot of attention to detail, and guys are flying around. And you can tell this is a hungry group of guys, and I feel like I fit right in.
Here's what Williams had to say about the 49ers culture versus the culture in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, no specific things, but as soon as you walk in this building, the vibe is different. I think my first team meeting before it even started, first time of all being together, I could just feel the vibe then. And just, you know, this environment here that Cal has created, John has created, I think they've done an outstanding job. They got a bunch of like-minded fellas in the locker room. And, you know, I think everybody feeds off each other and everybody encourages each other. And it's just, it's one of those things that you got to experience to believe.
Here's what Trent Williams had to say about Nick Bosa.
Yeah, most certainly. I think he's going to be one of the pivotal reasons how, you know, I mean, I ain't going to say reason, but he's going to be a pivotal tool for me to use to knock the rust off and for me to get, you know, probably one of the biggest challenges that I can face all year is Nick. I think he's one of the top four or five rushes in the game, and to get that work and to be able to have that every day, and we can kind of bounce ideas off each other and talk each other through it, I think it's going to work out in the best case for me, and I hope definitely he gains just as much as I do from it.
Trent Williams from East Texas, stand up. Trent Williams, a big boy, number 71 for the Niners, playing left tackle and replacing Joe Staley. Boy, I'm excited to see Trent Williams protect Jimmy Garoppolo's blind side.
There's been three offensive linemen in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years that just stick out. They look different than any others in a 49er uniform. Larry Brown, obviously, one of the baddest, one of the greatest of all time. Larry Allen. Trent Brown, excuse me, who was obviously traded away to the New England Patriots, and then the Raiders ended up signing him. And now Trent Williams. I mean, you're talking about some large, large human beings, because most of the 49er linemen have usually been lighter and a little more mobile and agile. Right. He gives them something very different than they're accustomed to. I mean, he is a large human being just sitting there at the podium.
Guru, we'll get Guru
between
after the
Bosa.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Guru.
Can you hear me? Gotcha. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, it's all bad. But in the 70s and 80s, Niners practice would consist of, you would get to see Williams against Bosa in practice. I don't think not so much this, you know, in the new era of NFL.
All right, let's get ED on the airways. He's going to join us here in about 5 minutes, talking about this 49ers team and the expectations. I want to ask him about Uncle Sherm, whether or not Uncle Sherm, can he play at that level we played at a season ago? We'll talk to Eric Davis, former 49er Super Bowl champ, right here on 95.7 The Game. It'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.